You might want to turn your Bible in just a moment to John chapter 12. I'm going to read from there. But I want to talk about fervency. I want to talk about passion. I have a conviction about this, that you can stay effervescent your whole life if you understand how that works. I have no intention. I'm sure you have no intention of fading out of your heart and your life, that where you were really on fire for the Lord, and then as the years go on and the months go by and different things happen, you've lost the spark. You don't have to lose the spark. You don't, it's not inevitable. But it will be if you don't counteract it with other things. And you see, I don't know about you, but I'm hoping that I'm going to be stamping on giants' necks until I'm 95. I'm planning on that. I'm not planning on being some old dead Pentecostal. Yeah, here's the thing. You know, there is nothing sadder than an old hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, brother. Praise the Lord. Oh, there's nothing worse than that. That has just got to be, in my mind, that just grates on me to think, how in the world do you get like that? May I not go that direction? But what about onward and upward? What about the touch of God upon your soul, that you're as much in love or more with Jesus now than you were when you started the journey? Because to me, he just gets sweeter and sweeter. There's nothing like our Lord. And so I wrote down about 12 things. I've shared this many times with other groups and other settings, just because it's a kind of a theme in my heart, that I see the saints slipping, but they're not always excited as they used to be, and that kind of touches my heart, because I think we can change that around if we do some right things. So I wrote down a number of things. You can just think, if it's not that important, you just let it go by. But I think some of these things, they're really pivotal in their nature, and you will have to prove that yourself. But so onward and upward. The first thing you need to do it's John chapter 12. If I be lifted up, Jesus said, I will draw all men unto me. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. We go back. It's a backward look. We go back and we stand under the cross, because that's where it all started for all of us, where we had an encounter with Jesus, and he drew us to himself. Jesus said, I will draw all men to myself if I be lifted up. Well, he was lifted up over our hearts and over our lives, and we found him to be the source of not just our forgiveness, but of our very life in Christ. I will draw all people. And he drew us. I am eternally grateful for the drawing of Jesus. He said, Owen, I'll draw you to me. I'll draw you to me. I'll draw you to me. And that's what his promise was. So we go back and we stand under the cross, fully aware that it's been pure grace, that we deserve eternal judgment and we got eternal life instead. And all the wonderful things that have come out of that. So that's number one. Number two, I think it's important to project yourself towards the Bema. Now we're going forward. Project yourself forward. See, one thing is to look back, thanking God for his salvation, thanking God for his forgiveness. And now we look the other way, and we look towards the future to the Bema. The Bema. Now, you may not know where what that is, but if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he talks about our works being revealed, and everything is shone for what it is, and we're laid bare at the Bema. You know, I had, and I think Marguerite, if she's here, she had this same thing. We were in Israel a lot of years ago now, but we were there, and in Corinth, and the tour guide, she said, you're standing at the Bema. And I knew exactly what that was. It's the judgment seat of Christ. It's the place of reward for believers, not for unbelievers. That's the great white throne judgment, but it's for believers. And where the Lord says, well done, well done. That's a very, very powerful look as we look forward. See, that's going to be, I can look forward to this, and you can look forward to this. You will stand someday before the Lord for the deeds done in the body. That's what he says, for the deeds done in the body. For how I, in other words, not what you did, but why you did it. Why did you do what you did? What was your ministry based on? What was your life based on? And so we project ourselves to the bema. That was, and by the bema was a, it wasn't legal. It was, it's more like somebody had the largest carrot or, you know, some or potatoes that really grew large. And so he would take them there and there'd be an award or it'd be a garland over somebody's neck. And he'd say, well done, you ran that race really strong. But it wasn't judicial. It was rewards for accomplishment. And thus it was called the bema seat. And not the great white throne judgment. So we project ourselves to that, living for one thing. See, this will change. This will make your life different. Living for the day when he says, "Well done." See, that like we get up in the morning and we say, "Lord, let this day count for you. That I'll hear your voice. That you say, 'Well done, well done, well done.'" It's this is my beloved child in whom I am well pleased. And that is a great motivation, not fear of hell, not fear of dark things like that, but just wake up in the idea of, I want to please Jesus. I want to live for him. The motivation comes from your heart, right? He deserves all my worship, all my praise, and all my Christian service and everything else. And so that day I will be at the bema. By the way, I believe I'll never be at the great white throne judgment. That's for another group of people altogether. Would be a good sermon, by the way, but that's not what this is about. So we say, Lord, I want to hear your voice. I don't want to live with regret where the Lord says, I have to take some of those rewards. I have to take them away. You lose your reward because you lived only for yourself. You never lived for anybody else. You lived only for yourself. And you see that loss, the loss that it didn't have to be that way. And that's why, I'm not planning on sneaking into the front door or the back door of heaven. I want an abundant entrance where we come skipping in because we not only do our sins forgiven, but we know that the Lord has something to reward us with. And it's just fantastic. You can't beat it. So that's number two. Project yourself towards the bema, towards the judgment day, and that is a motivation. It causes us to be holy and to live for the Lord with all of our heart, our whole hearts. And this would be great if this church would be saying, it's a church that we live for Jesus. We live for his well-done statement. Number three, whatever you do, don't let your passion cool. I remember I came to know Christ as a teenager, and then when I got to senior high, my heart was worldly, and I was more interested in just about anything but that. I always loved the Lord, but there was a, you know what I'm saying? That you experienced Christ, but there was nobody to disciple me. There was nobody to take me further now that I had given my heart to the Lord. And so pretty soon I had a lot more unsaved friends than I had saved friends. And they'd be out late at night, and there's always things going on, and little by little, I kind of drifted until I was invited, actually, by the Reverend Art Shepherd and the Reverend Ed Bradley, actually, invited me to come to Winnipeg, and I went, and when you get a chance to escape your town, these towns, I'm sure there's guys still driving around that town, right? And shifting gear and spinning his wheels. But that's where you end up staying too long. I found as I, but when I got to Winnipeg, I had an encounter with the Lord. And my heart began to, God began to speak to me about these very things. And it was, it doesn't take long to renew your heart. You can be renewed this morning right here. But at least you need to be aware of it. So I was a worldly person. Was I going to heaven? Mm-hmm. Oh, no doubt about that. And everyone who knew me knew about that. But I wouldn't have gone with a heart that's burning. It turned out, as I yielded myself to the Lord, we had a kind of a youth group, it was a collection of people. Maybe we'd had about 30 people, 30 young people. And we had a revival, kind of a revival. And we'd be gathering, we'd all come into the church, and we'd take about two rows. And some of these kids weren't saved. And it was just, so out of, from cold heart to warm heart to revival among a bunch of youth. And then, of course, thank the Lord, I'm able to say, I'm not deviated. No thanks to me, but by the mercy of the Lord. But don't let your passion cool. Mark 12:30, love the Lord your God with all your strength, all your soul, all your might. Give it all you've got. That behooves us to do that, doesn't it? To press in. Press in your life. Don't let the enemy steal from you in any way. Don't let your passion cool. Because it will. It will. If you don't stoke the fire goes out. We're not talking about eternal life and reward. That's all settled. What we're talking about today and living for the Bema and serving the Lord and how to keep that thing stoked. Love the Lord. And I find myself saying, Jesus, I want to love you. You are my soul's desire. Nothing in my life comes close to you. So Lord, please, let this really be an honor to you, my life. May my life honor you. And if you can say that today, you're just a richer person, that you say, I'm on the right track. I'm pressing in. It's onward and upward. It's not backwards and wishing for the leeks and the garlics, but going on to the manna that the Lord has for all of us and the heavenly food. It's a fantastic thing, I'm sure, in every way. Number four, cleanse yourself. I said pet sins. I guess that's not quite what I was thinking of. It's more cleanse your heart from all secret sins. See, one of the things about being a Spirit-filled Christian is the ability to go through life without a bag of secrets. And many people carry around a bag of secrets. Nobody's allowed in there. Nobody can challenge anything in there. That's your bag of secrets, and you carry it around with you. And you hope that nobody will look in the bag. Well, one of the secrets of staying hot for the Lord is that you don't have a bag of secrets. You dump and say, whatever's in here, whatever stuff's in here, I'm getting rid of stuff out of your life so that you can be uncluttered and you can keep your spirit firm. But all these pet things, see, you don't want to disqualify yourself. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul says, I don't just beat the air. He said, I'm strategic. And he said, why? That he not be disqualified. That's so big. We were talking, I don't know where it was the other day, but we were talking about this person who fell. And the only thing that we could say about it was, well, what a mess. And when a leader falls, boy, it's a huge problem. It affects churches and people and individuals and chaos. It's just unbelievable. And whatever happened, we're not here to judge that individual, but oh man, I bet that was the last thing in the world that he wanted to happen, but didn't watch his life, didn't guard it and say, how am I doing? Is my life full of holy things and godly things? Or is there somebody I'm flirtatious with? Is there anybody here? Is there any kind of love of money that I'm really, getting caught up in money things and buying things? And so you have to ask yourself those questions. And this individual evidently didn't, and carried on thinking that it'll at some point, I suppose, he thought he could correct it. But when the rest of your colleagues say, what a mess. I don't want to be one of those people, by the way. And you need to say that to yourself either. Say, neither do I. I don't want to be one of those people. I'm not any different than them. I put my pants on one leg at a time like you do. And we're just ordinary people. But left to itself, you say, well, I don't think that would ever happen to me. I'm a more godly person. Oh, boy. The very fact that you think it couldn't be you makes me worry for you. because it always pays to run a little scared. That's what Howard Hendricks said. He said, always run a little scared. Always be a little aware that you could say things and do things and get involved and get off track and be with some weird religious group or something. And you say, oh man, how did I ever get, and you'll wonder how you got there. How in the world did I get there so far off track? You were deceived. It was deception, right? How many know that's a thing in itself? Deception. And you literally are deceived by demons. And that's how it happens, because you wouldn't have otherwise. It's a demonic thing and a deception thing by the demons. And so we say, Lord, cleanse me of all my pet sins and secret sins, and I will not have a bag full of secrets. And so as you look at my life, as I look at your life, and say, is there anything in the bag that you'd like to deposit out of it? And you can do that in the privacy of your heart. You don't have to do it here. But I know this, is that if I was to fall, it would affect so many people. It would be heartbreaking. So heartbreaking. People who I said, Jesus is the way. Jesus is the best thing that could ever happen to you. And if they believe that, and then I take a plunge, how will they ever believe the gospel again? See, we only get one chance at this, really, to get it right. And by God's grace, we will. But we're cleansed of all those things. And again, he says, lest I be disqualified. Oh, man. Okay, is he going to hell? No, it's not talking about hell. It's talking about your life. About you don't want the Lord to have to put you on that shelf because he couldn't use us. Because our lives were not in order. Because there were secret things and private things and things that were not right and things that hadn't been made right. And so he puts us on the shelf. Loves us? Oh, yes. But he can't use us because I've disqualified myself. Well, that's too convicting, so let's move on. So number five, again, keep your spirit fervent. That's your responsibility. It's my responsibility. Start each day, number six, with a promise and a prayer. I find that, I just love to take a verse for the day and just quote it. I know someone who actually puts it on a card and just puts it back in here, and then they bring it out and they read the verse. That would be fine too. But you start each day with a promise and a prayer. Lord, thank you for watching over me this day. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your kindness. And I commit myself to you. I find with the scriptures, it helps me. I write all over my Bible, if you were to see it from there, FM and AM. For me and all mine. For me, all mine. For me, all mine. It's either for me or I claim it. But I claim the promise as the day begins. And I find that keeps me kind of focused on scripture, and it's just a little verse that just kind of does it, gets us kind of lined up. But you start every day with just a little devotion, even if it's on the way, if you're taking the bus even, just on that bus, just commit yourself to the Lord, and you can just pray with your hand and say, pray for that person, pray for that person, pray for that person, pray for that person. Last time I did that was, must have been the Billy Graham thing, or maybe it was something. At any rate, I remember I sat behind this man, and I was, these are arrow prayers, right? So I was flashing arrow prayers to the back of his head. And then he turned around. And side of him, he sat that way in the seat. And so I was kind of looking right at him, and so we got talking. By the time we got to this road right here, we had an amazing conversation. I invited him to come to church. I don't think he's come yet. Well, maybe he has, I don't know, but my point was is that the day just it takes a different turn when you commit it all to the Lord and you wait to seek for God to use you. Number seven, there's the joy of falling in love. And by the way, it's like your marriage. You fall in love every day, right? Just say, Jesus, I love you. I love you, Lord. I find that it helps me to actually hear myself saying a prayer. Lord, I love you. Keep me true. Lord Jesus, keep me true. And so this joy of falling in love, it's not about religion. It's not about, you know, the legal things and religiously, you know, all those crazy things that people get into. It's about just lifting him up, surrendering your heart. I don't know actually how it works, but I know that if I'm honest with the Lord, I'm honest with myself, there's an amazing joy floods my heart. And that's for all of us. I know it's in Val in her book, she'll have a thing where she's written a verse and or something she saw in Scripture. And of course, it's good. I'm always encouraged to hear that as an encouragement in my own life, that we're trying to stay, that our lives would be always in love with Christ. That number one love is Jesus. That's our hope and our promise and everything else with it. So the joy of falling in love with Jesus, this is our dedication, this is our consecration, this is our obedience, whatever. In one way it's simple, in other ways it's kind of complicated. But it's not hard. It's not a hard path. The best path ever is to walk with God. It's just so fantastic. It's so wonderful. Number eight, drink deeply of life. It seems that the world knows how to party, but they don't know have anything to know about Christ. Whereas Christians, they're on their way to heaven, no doubt about that, but they don't know how to have a good time, a joyous life. I don't know how to say this properly, but like beauty and all kinds of things that you just say, you find yourself giggling. It's so wonderful. You see the flowers coming out, and you say, thank you, God, for that. How wonderful this is, this gazing at life and to make people thirsty. And I would hope that my life and your life, that we would have this thing, I find you in the very best sense of this, I find you seductive. I want to live a seductive life. Don't you? I want my life to be so impacting that I love this. Now, we don't love the world, but we love the creation. And we have this simple relationship, but we drink deeply of life. You hear a song, you enjoy that song, or you hear something else, you do something else, and it's just so beautiful. Dr. G.S. McLean from the Bible School at Esten, he used to talk about this stuff, living life to the full. And he'd go out in the Saskatchewan River Hills, and there'd be a beaver that would slap its tail down there. And we were there, we stayed overnight, it's just in the ditch. It's just like, you see cow pies everywhere. It's not really a camping spot, but that's where he would meet. And he allowed us to go to his secret place. And actually, more I think about that, it was like his secret place. And he said, I want you, you're able to stay here. So and there we are on this river and South Saskatchewan River and just enjoying the flower as he did. And I remember we would listen to him and he was always talking about the richness of life. I just hope that drink deeply. Don't just go to church. It's more than that. Like it's just every part of the world. Is there some part of it that's lovely? And that, I think, just keeps us from taking ourselves too seriously. Don't take yourself too seriously, right? It's just not the best way. So I wrote a little statement. I don't know how it's done, but I know how I live it. Keep childlike. Find yourself laughing lots. Find yourself enjoying life. But you're like a little kid, not childish, childlike, that we rejoice when we see it. Say, wow, that person really, see, it ought to be that there's a, wow, that is a wonderful way to live. It is. It's not always religious and going to church. It's experiencing a childlike attitude and giggling and laughing whenever something strikes you. As funny. Number nine, keep fresh in your spiritual passion. Yeah. Keep fresh. That's why we praise the Lord. We know we don't have to go away to a conference to get renewed. Those are settings that God uses, but you can renew yourself here today. You can walk home and say, Lord, I just want to surrender all of me to you. And you touched my heart, Lord, this morning. So I'm going to give myself afresh to you. Stir me up. Just really put a a fire under me. And may that fire never go out till right till Jesus comes. That's how to live. That's the life that the Lord pleases. Fervent, Colossians chapter 3, verse 22, he said that you should be fervent for the Lord and not as unto men. Here's the sad thing. If you live for people and their applause and their all the things that do with that, you're going to be, if that thing goes sideways, you're going to be angry and frustrated. And you, why? Because you did it unto men. Whatever we do, say, Lord, I'm doing this unto you. I know someone may criticize, or this may not be this, or this is that, but I'm doing this not unto men, he says, but unto God. Do everything for the Lord. Otherwise, say, you know, I helped them out, and they weren't even grateful for me. You did it for man. You just have to say, God, you know, wish it could be different. It isn't, but Lord, I'm glad I did it to you. So when the judgment day comes, when we are at the Bema, and the Lord says, well done. You say, well, it never even worked out. No, it doesn't matter. I did it for you, Lord. I didn't do it for the men, for men and women anyway. I did it for you, Jesus. Always do it for Jesus. Then you won't, when you come to the end of your life, you won't have that regret. Other than just the sheer joy, say, boy, I'm glad I did it unto men, or did it to the Lord, not unto men. Heartbreak if you don't do it that way. It's just a heartbreak, unbelievably so. I know that. I know that, too. I've done things, and I guess I did it for men, for their praise. And I got the praise, and I got all of that, but I didn't have what I really needed. And so anyway, these are just principles that you live by. Number 10, every believer, not just the clergy, not just the, but every believer should possess a passionate spirit. A spirit that you can, when you're around that person, you can just sense that they've been in the presence of the Lord, that they love the Lord with all of their heart. There's nothing greater than running into somebody that you haven't seen for a while and that they had that passionate spirit has persevered for all the years. The person that I remember back there, they still have a sparkle. They still have something, a twinkle in their eyes. There's just something wonderful about it. How did they just kept it? I don't know. If you can tell me at the break why this, how this works, that would be good. Because I don't know actually how it works. All I know that when my heart's on fire for God, when I'm passionate for Him, my life just goes a whole lot better. And yours goes a whole lot better, too. Number 11. Satan has his passion killers. Yeah, and his fervency killers, too. Because when a church starts to wind down, you know where, and you reach maybe a pinnacle, and then unless it's renewed, it will always run back down. There's a law, some of you scientists can tell us that there's a law where it just, things don't stay that, it finally just dissolves and breaks down. And so the enemy will, so that's why churches, when you go to a passionate church, it's a beautiful thing because you can see, wow, God's here. God's in this church. They sing and they clap and they praise the Lord. We have been and you have been, and I have spoken at churches like this, and I have visited churches like this where, whoa, boy, yikes. You, as we say, you could have skated down the aisle. I was like, it's just so cold, and you can see whatever is going on, the church is dying, I guess. I guess that's it. The church is dying. It's dying because it wasn't maintained. The enemy, he will seek that we'll just kind of unless we stand in the gap and we realize that, boy, we've got to make sure that we're dealing with this stuff so the church will keep growing. It will not left to itself. Guaranteed. It will be 5 years from now, it will be less unless we stoke the fire. Right? A church can't really be on fire. Only people can be on fire. But as we give ourselves to the Lord and being aware that Satan will do certain things just so that we're just kind of dull of spirit. And it's not much happening. And you can't remember the last time somebody was baptized in the Spirit. Nobody's speaking in tongues. Nobody's worshiping the Lord. And I say, how did that get like that? Oh, just life, it just runs down. And we say, Lord, that's why we have prayer meetings, right? So that our fervency will continue on, and that won't, that these passion killers would be nipped in the bud, as it were, and we can go on and say, wow, what a vibrancy. See, one thing we say about the Oasis Church in Duncan, they are not lacking fervency. As they were leaping and dancing and flinging themselves around, and it was quite contagious, actually. I'm still singing the song, and I can't get it out of my head, so so much for swimming in the river. All I'm saying is, one thing, there's fervency in that church. It's not dying, it's going that way. Mel, isn't that true? It's going that way. But even left to that church, if it's left to itself, will be lesser, and the enemy will have scored something. So we just say, Lord, make this church a firebrand, just something burning, and people are loving, and we're caring, and we're seeing people come to Christ, and we're laying hands on people, and they're getting healed and delivered and ministered to. That's what you want. That, you say, doesn't have to ever stop. It can be going forever, providing we, again, stir the fire. So here's a closing thought. Thought for the day. Why does passion matter? Why does it even matter? Well, I think I've already touched on it. Because left to itself, it will be swallowed by the darkness. You know, there are churches that no longer preach about the deity. The churches don't teach about the divinity of Jesus, about the Trinity. They don't teach about miracles. They don't teach that the Bible is the Word of God. And that's what happens. And so it matters, if for no other reason, saying, listen, there are dark forces. There are dark forces around that would seek to bring, so first of all, we fall into disunity and all kinds of things, and it's just kind of dead and goes off track, and some weird cultish things and New Age things. And so, does passion matter? Really matters, because it's hard. As long as we are growing and we're upward and onward, as long as we're doing that, this is going to be great for years and years and years and years and years and years and years. But if not, and so that's why we cry out. We say, that's why the only kind of prayer meeting that really matters is one with fervency. I would rather have 10 people who are praying fervently than I would 100 people that are just got their head in their hands and they're mumbling. So we just begin to pray, and we say, oh God, touch our church. Don't let us fall asleep. Lord, we call on you, Jesus, Jesus, and we're shouting unto him, weeping before him. Why? Because we know that it's the power of God that keeps the church alive, right? It's the power of God. It's nothing we can just say, well, we'll do what we can do to keep this going. No, don't worry. Just be filled with the Spirit, and the rest will be take care of itself. It does, always it will. But we must be praying. These things are done supernaturally to keep a church alive. Wow, passion matters. And I hope, like all of us together, that we, more than else, want to be just on the cutting edge of what the Lord is doing today, of what he's up to. That's the thing, what God is up to. And then there's the last thing. Here's a good question. It'll actually lead into what I want to talk to you about this morning. How will people remember you? How will people remember you? Well, I've got a further part of that. How will people remember me? What will it be that they remember? What will this dear lady here, our neighbor, how will Margie be remembered? Right? Isn't that a good question? How will you be remembered? Because that focuses us and say, oh God, I don't know how what I'll be remembered for entirely, but I know what I don't want to be remembered for. I want to be a child of God, filled with the Spirit, loving people, and drinking life to the full. That's the kind of life. So, well, that's the easy part. Some of you won't know what I'm talking about here, but I think maybe I'll call the elders afterwards. We've got some house business here to deal with. Oh, he's already. Now you're wondering who got in trouble, right? The problem of that, why this is true, is because I know everybody here, and so let me just give the introduction. I'll read it. It's not very long. And then I'll open it. I'll make a couple of comments, but I'll open it in case you have any questions. No. None? None? No. Okay. You can go and see them. Yeah. Go and see them. Not okay. We're not fielding things here. We're okay. Everybody happy with that? You good? All right. Dear elders and board of directors of Valley Church, I am writing you this letter to announce my retirement as senior pastor, which will be effective as of December 31st, 2017. So there's quite a bit of life there. I want you to know something I believe with all my heart, that there could be no finer congregation to serve anywhere. Your faithfulness, your commitment, your generosity, your open-mindedness, your ease of laughter, and your warm-hearted support have brought me the deepest rewards of ministry. We have faced many challenges and experienced many mountaintops together, and the ministry we have shared has been a rich source of joy and fulfillment in my life. There could be no greater gift than having had the opportunity to work with you this past 30 years. To be invited to share in the trials and triumphs of your lives as we traveled the journey of faith together has been a great blessing. Thank you for the trust that you have placed in me as your pastor over these years. Val and I consider it a great privilege to have been a part of your lives. Sincerely, in the love of Christ, Pastor Owen. Yeah. Okay, do you want to say something?
Beside Pastor Owen, before Pastor Owen came here, Richard Flatmark was one of the pastors in this church. He's been part of this church since 1976. He had no problem handing over and being part of the church when Pastor Owen took charge over. Now Pastor Owen is going to pass the mantle. He's not going to resign and going to run away from here. He's going to be part of the congregation. The only thing he's resigning from is being as a senior pastor and a paid full-time position. All he's doing is we are going through a transition. It's going to take another 8 more months. So I know we are all heartbroken, and this is an eventuality. If it's not next year, year after, this will eventually have to happen. And every one of our life, that has to happen. So you all will have an opportunity to show your appreciation to Pastor Owen. We are planning, we're going to be contacting all of you through a letter and telling what we're going to do, so we have time. We're not suddenly pulling the rug under the feet here. We're going to do it gradually the way the Lord wanted, and we are praying, and we have been praying for this. This is not something that we came up with last week. We've been praying for several years. In fact, Once Pastor Owen is finished, he's going to pass the mantle to our dear Marcel Kurtz. He's going to be our senior pastor. Okay. So we are not looking outside to replace somebody to be our senior pastor. And whoever is a registered member would have an opportunity to tell us whether he is. We are looking and praying that you would all approve him 100% because he has been here for 17 years, working diligently, proving himself that he wanted to take the lead, and we have been working with him. This is not a surprise to him either. So saying that, Pastor Owen will be done December 31st, 2017. January the 7th, 2008, he will be passing on a January January 7th, 2018, he will be passing the mantle to Pastor Owen. We will also planning a celebrations night or it's sometime in October. Could be late, mid, so that we would all have an opportunity to do that also.
Just a couple of thoughts. We have full confidence that we've chosen right with Marcel. And I've enjoyed him immensely. And he's enjoyed me immensely. And at least that's what he said. Anyway, I just wanted to, first of all, somebody have asked me if I said, I'm sorry you're quitting the ministry. I'm not quitting the ministry. You never quit that. You just quit the place where this presently. Val and I will have to reconnect as to where the Lord is working because we want to join him in that. We've got work to do in the kingdom, right? We've got stuff to do. So we're not quitting the ministry. We're just changing it and giving Marcel an opportunity to really run with this thing. I can see it, the church moving at another, moving to another level, as we wait on God, and so it's and there's no one's put pressure on me. If you're wondering if there's any political pressure, no, none as far as I know, anyway, unless the door closes behind me. So it's just this is the church is healthy, the leadership is healthy, our finances are healthy. There's no disunity in our church. It's a good time to make a transition. So
listen, everybody behind you, and I think we're missing one or two board of directors here. We are in unity 100%. We're asking the church to support us in unity, and I'm hoping that you all have faith in the leadership of this church. And also, if you have any concern, if you are heartbroken, you are discouraged, somehow this is not the right thing in your heart, please don't talk to the pastoral staff. Please come and see any one of us and express your disappointment, your happiness, whatever you want to talk to us. Call us home. Talk to us. Please don't get upset. We don't, in this process, we don't want to lose one person. Then we have not done our job. We have to be accountable to the Lord and accountable to you. Every one of the precious saints are here. So we don't want to lose one person out of this transfer, this transition. So please come and talk to us. You want to say? No. Okay. God bless you. We're going to pray, then we're going to dismiss. Okay.
And coffee after that. Just like every normal Sundays.
Blessing, Pastor. This is a blessing and an honor, privilege. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity of being here together with all my brothers and sisters, Lord. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the blessing of having Pastor Owen as our leader, Lord. Thank you, Lord, because you anointed him for this moment, Lord. And this moment, Lord, he has taken this decision, Father. And we ask you, Lord, to bless them, anoint them, Lord, guide them, Lord, into new heights, Lord, where you are taking him, Father. We ask you to use him mightily, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to show him new ways, Lord, things that his ear, no ear has heard, he is going to hear, Lord. He is going to serve you even more, Father. And we thank you, Lord, for this step of humbleness, Lord, that he's taking, Lord, and giving the opportunity to our brother Marcel, Lord, to lead us now, Father.
Yes.
We ask you, Lord, Holy Spirit, to anoint them, to unite them, Lord, that we may be one in you, Father. Mm. In the name of Jesus, we pray, Father. We thank you, Lord. Amen and amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Yeah, amen. Thank you.
Thank you.